Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's Brad Carson and Bennett Doyle live on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You heard the man, Brad and Bennett, holding it down from 4 to 5:30 as we are contractually obligated for the Memphis Grizzlies pregame at 5:30 tonight. For the Charlotte Hornets, that'll start at 5:30. Tip is at 6 o'clock live on 92.9 FM ESPN. A full show today. We have special guest Jeff Calkins, as we do every day at 5 o'clock. We'll have four stories at 4:40. The voice of the Volunteers will talk SEC with us at around 4:20. Bob Kesseling joins us. And Bennett Doyle across the glass from me. Welcome into the show, Bennett Doyle. How are
we
today?
Yes, sir.
You good?
Hey, we're doing good.
We start off with a guest, though. Something different for the 4 to 6 program. Let's get right into it with the expert on the Grizzlies. He is the commercial appeal beat writer for the Memphis Grizzlies. His name is DeMichael Cole, and you can follow him on Twitter. Of course, DeMichael is there, too, at DA Michael C. DeMichael, I'll start off with, what has it been, a year now you've been in the market? We had our first interview with you. I think it was me who interviewed you the first time on 92.9. How's it going?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? It's been we're right over a year. I started working a little bit before Christmas. I believe the 21st, 22nd was the date last year, 2022. So about a year in.
Wow, it's hard to believe, and it's been a great time to be on the Grizzlies beat writer, on the beat for the team. Let me start off with Ja Morant. I want to be careful here because this is not a criminal or something that is in police hands at this point. It's a civil matter, but this story that you guys have chronicled over at the Commercial Appeal and have been following closely, at least Mark Giannotto and I were speaking about it. Just what do you know about the Ja Morant TMZ story at this point and where that's gone from your work?
Yeah, so we actually just published a story not too long ago, about in the last hour.
I knew it was soon. Yeah.
Yeah, with just more detail. But yeah, pretty much confirming probably some of the things that you've already heard. You know, there was a 17-year-old, basketball player, involved as well. And that's who, Ja Morant hit in the incident. The basketball was thrown at him, at Ja Morant, that is. Kind of provoked and led, to the sequence of, the lawsuit being filed and things like that. But yeah, pretty much all the things. But then, of course, there's just the more detail about who was involved, with, in addition to Ja Morant, and kind of what's going on from there. But like you said, it's a civil matter now. The DA said they're not pursuing, any charges or anything like that. So that's kind of where it is now.
DeMichael Cole's on with us from Commercial Appeal, and if you don't know what we're talking about, it's a TMZ article that was written late in the, earlier, like last night in the morning hours, kind of a buried story about an incident at Ja's house involving a teenager. It's not in a police matter at this point. They did write a report, so you can read the article and obviously read DeMichael's reporting on that at the Commercial Appeal. But, I think just my own opinion on this real quick is that basically, you got to be careful if you're Ja Morant because you're a millionaire player who came from South Carolina, and there's a lot of people who want to take your money. I don't want to say that projecting onto this civil matter. I'll just say that as a general statement. And I think that's the opinion of a lot of guys on this station we've been talking about is, when you're in your early 20s and you come into a lot of money, whether you're Ja Morant or Bill Gates, and you have your own signature shoe and you got kids who are crying to get your shoes. And it's just a reminder probably to him and to even average people like me that there's high stakes for somebody like this. And whether this is a true story from their stories of the basketball incident on Jaws at Jaws House or not, you just got to be careful. So I'll leave it at that, and folks can read your column there. Talking to DeMichael Cole, Grizzlies beat writer for the Memphis Commercial Appeal. He is on with us now, and I'll start off with that Xander Carr story, crying after getting his Ja 1 signed courtside after the win in Sacramento. Have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, we're seeing in Charlotte, you know, Rob Fisher, who follows with the team for Bally Sports, was on with this earlier on Jason and John, and he alluded to the fact that the hotel room where Ja and the team are staying at now is overrun with people wanting autographs. They're basically camping out. Is this like 90s Bulls territory, or where do you see this team right now in its star arc?
Yeah, it's a completely different level. I think the Grizzlies now are entering like a kind of like national prominence. Like we talked about, like, you know, the televised games in China. Like China is, there's a big market for the Grizzlies, you know, in China. I remember a fan literally traveled from China to come see here, to come to Memphis. So to see Ja Morant. And there's been, I mean, so many times we went on the road and he gets like a home ovation. And I'm not talking about just in any arena. I'm talking about, you know, Madison Square Garden. Even to a certain degree, when we were at the Chase Center, you know, there were a lot of boos mixed in as well at Chase Center. But you can tell, you know, sometimes when a opposing player gets cheers, the boos, you know, the boos try to overshadow that because you don't want that heard, you know, in your arena. And that's kind of how, you know, the vibe was at Chase Center. But, mm-hmm. I mean, he's that megastar that Memphis has been, you know, waiting to have as its own. And, you know, I think the big thing about it is kids love him. You know, middle-aged people love him. You know, like older people love him as well. And then, you know, he's loved overseas. He's loved on the West Coast, East Coast, in the South, in the North. Like, he has that type of game where it's become must-watch TV. And then the Grizzlies, as a result, they kind of play well off of Ja Morant's identity, too. You know, Ja Morant, we've talked about, I'm sure you guys have talked about it. Like, he is a very outspoken person who will say exactly how he feels about the Western Conference and whoever else. And Dylan Brooks is exactly that same way. And Desmond Bane is a little bit more reserved, but he will back them up anytime they say sort of those things, you know, and, you know, other teammates as well. So I think that's kind of sort of the energy from Ja Morant, and it's kind of like rubbed off throughout the team. And now the Grizzlies have kind of become known as like this team with this different swag and this energy and, you know, just like a confident young bunch.
We're talking to DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal, talking Grizzlies with him. Grizzlies take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight. We'll have a 6 o'clock tip right here on 92.9. DeMichael, there's been a little talk lately about the possibility of the Grizzlies making a move before the February trade deadline. You know, obviously you have the Danny Green expiring deal. He says he could be ready to go around the All-Star break. The Grizzlies also have multiple draft assets. Do you think there is a move to be made for this team at the deadline? If so, what would that look like in your opinion? Big move, small move? What do you think the Grizzlies do, if anything, around the deadline?
There's no move, I would say, right now at this time to make. I think what the Grizzlies have done, they put themselves in position to be very flexible. You know, I think that's what it comes down to. If something happens, if one of the wing players goes down or you know, injuries are part of the game, the Grizzlies are positioned to kind of be able to, in a position of, okay, we know what we have to do, instead of, all right, what do we do now, and in a state of panic. The Grizzlies have that. As you mentioned, the expiring from Danny Green is the big deal. That's $10 million contract that you're able to move. So you can get, you know, a decent player, you know, with that contract, and then you move probably another piece as well. They have, you know, assets as well in terms of draft picks, first round picks and things like that. They're in a great position to capitalize on this, you know, upcoming trade deadline however they want to. Do I think they'll make a move at this point as the roster is currently constructed? No. But if, you know, that would be my answer to that. If something happens, if, you know, one of the guys goes down, if something happens, you know, to a certain player, they'll be, okay, we're in position to capitalize on something. But if I had to say right now, even with the roster at full strength, if there was something that they wanted to improve on, it would. I really wouldn't be able to say. I mean, they got great. They got two nice point guards that they value, and you know they have a lot of wing depth. I mean, you could possibly add to the wing. I think that would probably be the one area you would want to add to, being that you know you're depending on some younger guys there and some inconsistency things going on. Zaire Williams, you want him to get back healthy, and you're kind of waiting on him to round into form. I think that would be the one position that you could kind of improve upon right now if you wanted to. But I think that's not something you should force, being that you have that Danny Green contract, to be flexible to see, you know, what happens.
I really like that answer. We're talking with DeMichael Cole, and you get two guys slinging questions at you, DeMichael. It's Brad and Bennett holding it down here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I want to go back to these core five players now, because at the end of the year, got to be honest with you, like Dylan Brooks was taking bullets, and a lot of that had to do with the shooting, but it was also because the Grizzlies were depleted. They had injury problems. Ja wasn't on the floor. Adams was out for much of the playoffs. But I'm looking at this big Memphis picture with the core five now, the starting five, with Bain, Jackson, Morant, Adams, and Dylan Brooks. Because Dylan Brooks went, and this is my perception, and you can help me with this, because I think this is the general, not consensus, but you see this a lot and you hear it on 92.9 from folks, if you listen a lot, that we went from this, you know, we probably shouldn't sign Dylan or re-sign him, you know, or trade Dylan, like, to a point now where we're the second team on defense in the whole league right now behind Cleveland. We have a chance to be number one. Jason Smith today on Jason and John was making a prediction they're going to be number one by the time the season is over, and I might agree with him. And a lot of that has to do with the perimeter defense of Dylan Brooks, and he's a two-way player. I mean, the guy can shoot. He's streaky, but he can play. You know, am I right to say that Dylan Brooks is on the must-have list?
He is right now. I mean, and I've kind of vouched for Dylan Brooks for a while. You know, when there was the whole talk in the playoffs about his inefficiency and him shooting the Grizzlies out of playoff games and things like that. And I'm just thinking the whole time, do you not see that Steph Curry – I mean, did you watch the rest of the playoffs, the way Steph Curry did the Mavs and what he did, you know, in spurts against the Celtics? But Steph Curry didn't really have that type of game in the entire six games against the Grizzlies. I mean, and Dylan Brooks was suspended for one of those games. But when Dylan Brooks played, he didn't have those type of games. And I keep going back to these last three games, right? I think these three games enforce the importance of Dylan Brooks as much as any three-game stretch we've seen so far this season. Three games ago, he's guarding Pascal Siakam, Eastern Conference reigning player of the week, coming to that game, three out of four games of over 30 points. He had a 40- or 50-point game in that stretch, but – he was probably the hottest player in the East at that point. Guard him, hold him to 8 of 19 shooting, under 50%, and this is a guy who's usually guarded by a lot of power forwards. Then the next game, you got to guard 6'6", 280-pound Zion Williamson, who's one of the biggest forces in the NBA, hard to hold under 50% shooting, only had that happen a handful of times going into this game. And quite frankly, if you're not big, you really don't have a chance against this guy. But Dylan Brooks, his physicality, you know, he really was physical with him, and he made that matchup tough. He made that matchup tough on Zion, I think, and that was another game. Held Zion to, I think, it was 6 of 16 shooting, one of his worst shooting nights of the season, career-high 9 turnovers. It was a team effort, but he was the primary assignment in that matchup. So there's that. And then, of course, the last game, right? You guard these two bigger guys, and then you go against the Kings, and you have to guard De'Aaron Fox, arguably one of the fastest players in the entire NBA. And he holds him to, I think, 7 of 18, 7 of 19 shooting, and he avoided letting them go off in the fourth quarter, which De'Aaron Fox has arguably been the best clutch scorer in the NBA this season, and Dylan Brooks was all over him. So you take those three games, and you literally see the Grizzlies have him guard a point guard, have him guard a three, have him guard a 6'6", 280-pound guy. I mean, who else on the Grizzlies would get those assignments? That's what it comes down to. And there isn't a clear, definitive answer among the wing players when it comes to that choice. So, yeah, he's a valuable piece, because at the end of the day, if you want to come out of the West, you got to beat Steph Curry. You're probably going to have to beat, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You're probably going to have to beat Luka Doncic, and, you know, the list goes on. And he's going to be the piece that you kind of need in those critical matchups.
DeMichael, I got to bring up Steven Adams. 44 rebounds over these last two home wins. It ties a franchise record for a two-game stretch, which was actually originally held by Jonas Valanciunas, who was, of course, traded to the Pelicans in a deal that brought Steven Adams to Memphis summer of 2021. You know, I think at the time, a lot of people, including myself, like, hand up here, you know, when Jonas gets traded, I was thinking, you know, you're giving up a guy who put up big numbers, appeared to have good chemistry with Ja. You know, me and some other people thought, are the Grizzlies downgrading at that position, you know, in the short term? And, of course, I couldn't have been more wrong. Steven Adams has been awesome this season. Why has it worked so well with Steve-O playing the five for the Grizzlies?
He's a perfect example of what makes NBA teams good. So you look at the NBA, it's not about which team has the most talent. It's about which team has the most players who can star in their roles. And you think about what some people consider one of the least talented overall championship teams of all time would be that Maverick squad, 2011 Mavs, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And what made that team special is, yes, it had Dirk, and it only had one quote-unquote superstar, but it had Sean Marion and Deshaun Stevenson, who were arguably two of the better wing defenders in the NBA at that time. And Tyson Chandler, one of the better rim protectors in the NBA at that time. And it had Jason Kidd, a Hall of Fame point guard at the same time. So this team consisted of players who starred in their roles, and that's what the Grizzlies have. With Steven Adams, you get more of that than you did with Jonas. Jonas was a great rebounder. I mean, the Grizzlies were still at the top of the NBA when he played and rebounded. But right now what you're seeing is the Grizzlies are the premier team from a rebounding perspective. And he's the best offensive rebounder arguably in the game right now. And, I mean, he's the reason they're in this position. He stars in his role. He's the best at his role. And he kind of makes them this great, you know, rebounding team.
DeMichael Cole, the lead sports writer for the Grizzlies content at the Commercial Appeal. He's their beat writer. I appreciate you joining us, DeMichael. Have fun watching the game. We got two early tips instead of that West Coast crap, so that'll be nice, right?
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, anytime, guys. Appreciate you having me. Yeah.
Appreciate it, DeMichael. Thank you.
There you go. DeMichael Cole from the Commercial Appeal. You can read his story about Ja Morant on the Commercial Appeal website, of course, and get the paper there, the Memphis Commercial Appeal. And, of course, his column after tonight's game with the Charlotte Hornets. We'll come back. We've got Bob Kessling lined up next. I'm going to ask him what it was like to call that Alabama-Tennessee game earlier, probably the game of the last – how long's it been, Bennett, since the Vols actually had a game that we talk about, like that at that level, instead of the 98 games, you know? It's been a while, so we'll talk about that game and the bowl game against Clemson, plus maybe a little hoops. Bob Kessling's next here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's a new year, and 92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's sports station for 23. It looks like Ben McLemore wore number 23 for the Grizzlies, and Derrick Rose wore number 23 for the Memphis Tigers in their careers. May your 2023 be more Rose than McLemore. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station in 23.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before with BetMGM. This is Jeffrey Wright inviting you to sign up using code WRIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, and your first wager's risk-free up to $1,000. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Sign up today and find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter code WRIGHT, W-R-I-G-H-T, and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
9789.
It's game on at Samstown Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. Win big in our sports book where you can join us on Saturday, January 21st to watch all the action in UFC 283. Win with your taste buds when you dine in one of our food venues, including Willie and Jose's. Try traditional Mexican dishes along with making your own burritos, tacos, and bowls. Be a winner any way you play and anytime you stay. Only at Samstown Tunica. See Boyd Rewards for full details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Norman, before we start the surgery, I have some bad news.
What is it, doctor?
Well, I never graduated from med school. But the good news is, it's the Xfinity Hello 2023 sale. Now hurry, because new Xfinity customers can get 75 megabit internet for just $20 a month for 1 year with no annual contract. And this'll get your heart rate up. When you add Xfinity Mobile, you get the best price for two lines of unlimited.
I gotta get this deal.
Plus, for a limited time, get $500 back with two new mobile lines.
That's amazing, Doc.
I know. I don't want to miss this deal. Let's reschedule.
Doc?
Drop everything and get to the Xfinity Hello 2023 sale now through January 10th. Go to Xfinity.com/Hello2023, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Internet offer requires paperless billing and autopay with stored bank account. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. After term, regular rates apply. Xfinity Internet required for Xfinity Mobile. Compares Xfinity Unlimited Intro to lowest price 5G plans of top three carriers. Reduce speeds after 20 gigabytes of usage per line. Data thresholds may vary.
When temperatures drop, COVID-19 cases may rise. So, if you test positive and are at high risk, act fast, even if your symptoms feel mild. Ask your provider if an authorized oral treatment could be right for you. Visit treatcovid19.com, sponsored by Pfizer.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
In this market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No, we tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly, different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Waiting for the snap. There it is. The kick on the way, and that kick is knuckling toward the upright, and it's good. Just gets over the upright. Chase McGrath wins the game for Tennessee. And here they come. Everybody sharing in the celebration. The student section mobbing the field. They're mobbing Chase McGrath. They're mobbing Hendon Hooker. What jubilation in Big Orange Country as the Tennessee Volunteers end a 15-game losing streak to the Alabama Crimson Tide, and they do it on a 40-yard field goal by Chase McGrath. I wasn't sure it was going to get there. It was knuckling as it went to the upright, but it got over the crossbar, and years of frustration being taken out on the field here at Neyland Stadium as the Tennessee Volunteers have beaten the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. Back to Brad and Bennett on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bob Kessling is the voice of the Vols. And Bob, I decided to play the entire minute plus because I felt like it'd be worth it here in Memphis. It's great to have you on and to relive that season and talk some hoops with you. Good to have you on, Bob Kessling.
Well, I appreciate that. It's always good to hear that moment because that was such a special time. And one of the great memories I think all of us will have in this rivalry with Alabama. But that was certainly an unbelievable night, unbelievable week, and what a great game.
Terrific. It's great to have you on after that great season. And it's Bob Kessling, the voice of the Volunteers from Knoxville with us. Of course, had the game last night that we'll talk about against Mississippi State. We are pretty fresh from the bowl game, so I'm going to start with I'll actually start with football and that call. I want to play something for you again, not just your audio, but a reaction here in Memphis, and I'm sure all across the state you've had similar calls.
I'd say this without choking up, but it will be something that he and I will talk about for the rest of our lives.
And that call was from the Jeff Calkins Show here on 92.9, Bob. We had similar calls like that, and these are Memphis fans, some of them, who went to the game, whether they have Tennessee, you know, students who go to that university, or they're just, you know, from Middle Tennessee, or they're from West Tennessee, just all across our listening area, we had people who had the chills from your call and what they experienced at that game. I mean, it just seems like it's probably the you know, once 20-year game for us, at least it feels like it, right?
No question. And, you know, the buildup for the game was so big, not only here in the state of Tennessee, but throughout the country. I mean, it was one of those anticipated games. You know, Alabama, the way they've had so much success, I mean, people either tune in to watch Alabama win or tune in to watch Alabama get beat. So I'm sure there were a lot of fans that really didn't have a dog in the fight, but they're still kind of rooting for Tennessee to knock off Alabama because they probably had enough of Nick Saban. But anyway, it was just it was a national game. I mean, everybody had just a great feeling. And I'll tell you a quick story. My daughter and son-in-law took our two grandkids, they're 9 and 7, to the game. George is 7. And so everybody was standing up, and those two guys, little guys, had a hard time seeing the field. So they're jumping around, trying to get on bleachers and look between people and this kind of stuff. So now Chase McGrath rolls out there to try and kick the game-winning field goal. He kicks it, it goes up and goes through, and everybody's going crazy. Well, my daughter looks around for George. He's gone. He's nowhere to be seen. And she's panicking a little bit that, you know, what's happened to George? And she looks across the aisle to her left, and about 3 seats down, here is George on this guy's shoulders. And they're jumping up and down, high-fiving each other. And I said, Allison, did you even know that guy? She said, I'd never seen him before in my life. But he saw George trying to see the game and just picked him up and put him on his shoulders. And that kind of tells you what the whole game was about. Just, it was such a great time to celebrate for Tennessee fans. And then Tennessee came along, and as you mentioned, the bowl game, Tennessee capped off the season with that win over Clemson. And that's just another marquee win that Tennessee had this season. And, if you hadn't won that game against Clemson, it might have taken a little bit of the shine off this season, but when you look back over it, it was a remarkable run by this Tennessee team, and nobody expected this team to be in the Orange Bowl or win 11 games or be ranked number one in the country. So what Josh Heupel has done in his second year is pretty remarkable.
You hear his voice here on 92.9 in Memphis and 790 in Memphis as well. His name is Bob Kessling, who is the voice of the Volunteers, which you've been doing this as long as we've been on the air here, Bob, so it's great to kind of come full circle. It's been a while for us, and I'm not even picking on Tennessee. It's just, it's really remarkable, and I think this is one where, if I don't know, as 130,000 people, if it's 130 or whatever capacity is, it's going to feel like in years, far away from here, 400,000 will have the story that they were there, course, on site, and possibly there were 400,000 if you consider the river outside and people jumping in the river that day and all around that stadium. I mean, that day I wasn't there. I watched it and listened to it on 92.9. What was that game like? I mean, we talked about it obviously the day after here and after the weekend, but it's got to be right there, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't bumped into anybody that says they weren't at the game. So I think everybody, whether they weren't there, they just kind of feel like they were there. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was just a one-in-a-lifetime game. I mean, my two grandkids, they'll be talking about this game the rest of their life.
There's no question.
And, a lot of people, are still talking about the 98 game against Florida and what that was like and the national championship. I mean, there's some of those games that are just etched in your memory, and you'll keep them there because they bring back such great thoughts. So I think this game is going to be one of those ones people will be talking about this game for a long, long time, for decades, because it wasn't a game as if Alabama played poorly that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did have a lot of penalties, but I mean, they've got a chance to win that game on their last drive. And if Gibbs doesn't drop that pass over the middle, they're in pretty good, easy field goal range. And as it turns out, he drops the pass, and then they miss the field goal, and Tennessee is able to come down the field in two plays and get in position and kick the game winner. So you know, Bryce Young that day was tremendous. I mean, he looked like a Heisman Trophy winner. And so it's not like Alabama didn't play all that well. I mean, they played really pretty well. They put 49 points on the board. That usually wins most games. But Tennessee just outplayed them some that day, and Tennessee made the plays to win it, and that's what makes the game even more satisfying. It's not like Alabama just handed it to them. Tennessee had to go win it, and I think that's what made it even more special.
Bob Kessling joins us here on 92.9 ESPN from Knoxville, and of course, UT players had a lot to do with this season, as well as Josh Heupel and that system that he's installed with that up-tempo offense, Bob. But if you look at the Bama-Tennessee game, and then even with the Georgia outcome, and then you look at the bowl game against Clemson, it does feel like everybody's going to come away with this season after watching that Clemson game as Tennessee fans going, man, this would have been the great year to have that playoff, you know, where it's expanded to 12, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and it's, but then the other thing they'll take away from it down the years, well, Tennessee had it right there in their grasp.
Yeah.
And then lost to South Carolina. So, and that's still a head scratcher. I don't think anybody has exactly figured out what happened in that game and why it happened and why Tennessee. It's the only game since Josh Heupel's been the head coach that it looked like Tennessee just wasn't locked in and ready to play that game. And they just made too many mistakes, and Spencer Rattler got some confidence, and he went crazy. So that's the one game that I think Tennessee fans, that game will stick in your craw for a long time. And what could have been? Because, you know, if you get into that, into the playoffs, you know, you've got to, you know, right off the bat, you got a decent chance of winning the thing, and you know, look at TCU. So yeah. TCU's got a chance to make a run at it. So, you know, it's still. I mean, and when you look back at it, 11 wins and an Orange Bowl victory over Clemson, that's still a heck of a year. So, it was a lot of fun. It was a great ride. It was good to see Tennessee football back in the national spotlight, and people all over the country talking about this team and talking about Hendon Hooker and talking about Josh Heupel and where this team is headed. And you know, a lot of people are all, you know, already saying that Tennessee is going to be a team right there with Georgia to win the SEC East next year, so which they should be. So yeah. It's just fun having Tennessee back in a position where they're picked to win championships, and that's been a while.
I do want to get to basketball, but, you know, I haven't caught up with you since football season, so I've got a couple more on Tennessee football before we get to basketball, and that is you brought up the South Carolina game. I believe that was the game where Hooker got hurt. That was, if there was a high moment of the Alabama game, the low moment might have been the Hooker injury at South Carolina and the South Carolina game in general. But I was really impressed with what Milton did in that bowl game against Clemson, and what it shows me, it was sort of like what happened a few years ago with Alabama, where Tua came in and then came out, and the quarterback who had been there all season was amazing, and I thought Milton looked terrific in that bowl game, and certainly a deserving look to get playing time, you know?
No question. And, you know, Joe is a physical specimen. If you get up next to him, you'll be amazed at just how big the guy is. And you see his arm. He threw that one pass to Squirrel White.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
It went 50 yards. He just flicked it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most guys that throw the ball 50 yards, it takes me three throws to get the ball 50 yards.
Lined up, yeah.
Yeah, and then he gets back there, and it's so effortless. And he just, and Pat Ryan says all the time he's so jealous because Joe always throws a spiral. Pat said he could never throw a spiral when he was playing quarterback, and there's Milton out there just gunning it. And that pass he threw to Brew McCoy for the touchdown, I mean, you're talking about a dart.
Oh, it was a bullet.
And, Clemson had a couple of guys right there, and I think they were even shocked how fast that ball got in there to McCoy. So he's a very gifted quarterback. I talked to him before the game, and I asked him, I said, when did you know you were going to be your quarterback? He said, well, I was in third grade and was playing on the football team, and the coach put me at tight end. And he says, I don't want to play tight end. I want to play quarterback. He said, well, you're one of the biggest kids on the team. You need to play tight end. He said, well, give me a shot at quarterback. And the coach says, okay, I'm going to put you out here. You make a couple of throws. We'll see what you're going to do. But I'm telling you, you're going to be playing tight end. And he gets out there and throws three passes, a couple of slant patterns, and he moves the quarterback over to tight end and puts Joe Milton in there at quarterback. So it was pretty, It's pretty obvious that Milton is a special talent, and I think he has handled this whole thing so well. I mean, he's a starting quarterback 2 years ago, and he's two games into the season, kind of get banged up a little bit, and then suddenly Hendon Hooker gets his chance, and Hooker doesn't give the job back.
Yeah.
And Joe didn't pout. He didn't say he's going into the transfer portal. He didn't say I'm getting a raw deal here and all this kind of stuff. All he did was he backed up Hendon Hooker. They were roommates, and they were basically joined at the hip. And what Joe Milton has done is put him in a position to not only be the starting quarterback at Tennessee next year, but also be in a position that now suddenly the NFL scouts are taking a look at him and looking at. You know, the one thing about it, when you've got an arm like that, there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that stick around a long time because they've got an arm. Now, they might be backups, and they might be guys that Tyler Bray was a great example, a former Tennessee quarterback. You know, I don't know how many teams he bounced around on, and he just had a handful of starts in the NFL. But they were just intrigued by his throwing arm and the fact that those things are hard to find. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a great arm and you've got a great athletic ability, you've got a pretty good chance of latching on at least for a while with an NFL team until they figure out, you know, can you really play or can't you play? So
yeah.
Joe Milton's got a bright future ahead of him, and I hope he has a big year next year for Tennessee. It would be fun if he did, because I'll tell you what, he'll air it out next year.
The arm talent it's unquestionable. I mean, when you see them just flick a 50-yarder or that bullet pass down the middle, the squirrel touchdown, it was terrific. And the great Bob Kessling joins us, the voice of the Vols here on 92.9. Final football question before I get on to Rick Barnes and the basketball team. You know, Memphis and really the state of Tennessee is a big, small state in some respects. My wife actually works with Jabari Smalls. I think it's his mom or somebody, and just you see him on TV, you listen to him on the radio, and what Jabari Small has done, the name's certainly ironic sometimes, but that kid, and I thought the game plan, especially in the bowl game against Clemson, was good to mix in Milton with the running game there, and Jabari Small is part of that, wouldn't you say, Bob?
Oh, yeah, and Jabari, you know, his lower body's got a lot of strength, and so he can break a lot of tackles, and he doesn't play small, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He plays much bigger than his size, and he runs hard, and he's really turned out to be a very dependable back for Tennessee. And the running game in Josh Heupel's offense is so important. Everybody thinks about, well, throwing the ball and doing this and that. But, I mean, Josh Heupel, he'll tell you, he wants to run the ball, and he wants you to get guys in the box to stop the run so he can throw it.
Yeah.
But, you know, his first preference is to get out there and run the ball and make sure you make adjustments to stop it. And that's, you know, that's why Jalen Hyatt and Squirrel White in that slot position are open a lot, because they're bringing those safeties up or they're bringing extra linebackers into the box to stop the run. So Jabari Small has been a big part of the Tennessee success because he's been so consistent.
It's interesting you mentioned that, and Bob Kessling is with this final thing on that. You brought up the offense, and it reminded me of Mike Leach. My wife is a state grad, so I saw a ton of Mississippi State games this year, and of course Mike Leach passed away, and of course Josh Heupel influenced by that offense and his relationship with Coach Leach. You brought up the fact that Heupel will point out the running game, and I actually saw that at Mississippi State, even with Coach Leach. Like, people were saying in year three, Leach is throwing the ball, and I was like, if you watch the games, he was running more than he had ever run. And it seems like these guys who coached with Leach have done just amazing things, and part of that is the running game, it seems like. I think Tennessee's mixed it up really well, and even Mississippi State was doing that this year.
Yeah, well, I think Coach Leach, his deal was he wanted to throw the ball all the time.
Right.
He wanted to do that. But then when you start dropping eight guys, we're going
to
run it.
There's
only a couple of guys here on the line of scrimmage. We're going to run it, and then you bring those linebackers and safeties back in, then we're going to bomb away again. And that's kind of the philosophy that all those guys have that have been running the run and shoot or whatever you want to call it, the air raid offense or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's based on counting people in the box. And if you don't put enough in there to stop the run, they're going to run it, and then you put too many in there, they're going to bomb it over your head. So it's very interesting how they and the one thing about Josh Heupel's offense, he's setting you up three or four plays down the road. I mean, he's trying to see how you're going to react to certain formations that you give him, And then once he figures that out, what you're doing, then that's when he really can put in some things that can really test and stretch a defense. And because you've got to guard sideline to sideline against Josh Heupel yeah. and also Mike Leach too.
Yeah, yeah, it was an entertaining season for sure. And then Bob, let's bounce over to the basketball team, which is equally, if not more, impressive than the football team at this point. I just looked at the defensive rankings for KenPom; they're the number one defensive team in America.
Yeah.
And they just beat the hell out of Mississippi State last night. Pardon the expression, but I mean, my wife was just blown away, and I think, and a lot of this has to do with competition too, right? A lot of these non-conference teams that they play early in the season are just cupcakes, and then once you get into conference play, you see this happen. But last night, balanced scoring from the whole team, Vescovi leading the way there, but balanced across the way, and the defense obviously a big part of that. They're now 12-2. KenPom overall number two, number one defense. They play South Carolina, who's just 7-7 this week, so hopefully a different outcome than football this weekend. But I'll start with the game last night, a blowout, and what are your expectations for the game for the season ahead, Bob?
Well, the game last night was one of the strangest games I've ever seen, in fact, because the game, you felt it was over 2 minutes into it.
You did.
When Tennessee came out and jumped on them, and it was 16-0, and they couldn't run an offense, they couldn't get a shot off, and you could just see the frustration in the Mississippi State players. Yeah. And then suddenly the lead kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and Tennessee's knocking down shots and shooting, 70% from the floor, and Mississippi State can't get a shot to go in. And Tennessee's defense just overwhelmed them last night. They couldn't get into an offense. They couldn't get good shots. And meanwhile, Tennessee's just running their offense and getting great looks. And, you shoot 70%, that's hard to do in practice
yeah.
sometimes. And when they got out there and Vescovi's hitting their shots and the last night Tennessee yeah. also got Josiah Jordan-James back in the lineup, and he's a key. They've really missed him. He's kind of their glue guy and a kind of guy that can play anywhere on the floor. They really missed him. And then Zakai Ziegler comes out and has a double-double in points and assists and really ran the team last night. So there's a lot of good things to like about this team. It's got depth. We were talking to Coach Barnes today, and he's mentioned the fact that the reason Tennessee's had early exits from the NCAA tournament the past couple of years is that they've not had consistent inside scoring. And they figure out in the NCAA tournament how to stop your guards, and you better have some inside scoring if you want to win the tournament in advance. And most of the championship teams, are a very balanced team. And now Tennessee has really put an emphasis on getting the ball inside and scoring. And last night, Tennessee's three bigs were 15 of 16 from the floor. So that's a really encouraging sign for Tennessee. So Jonas Adu is getting better. Tobe Awaka has really given them some good minutes. And Julian Phillips is a very talented freshman who's kind of feeling his way around right now. You can just kind of – you can see the talent mm-hmm. when he gets the ball and he would know what to do with the ball. But he's still kind of figuring out, I think, what his role on this team is. And, sometimes freshmen – kind of take a back seat a little bit. They're a little cautious about stepping up and being the guy. Well, Phillips, I think, has a chance to be the guy on this team. I mean, I really think he's that talented because he can get to the rim, he can get fouled. And so the last couple of games, and Coach Barnes kind of mentioned it to me today also, it looked like Phillips kind of hit the freshman wall, which they all do, because you practice so much and you played so much and the competition is so much higher than you've been. And after they get past that wall, then they start really playing better. And I think Phillips will do that. I think Julian Phillips is a very special talent, and he's going to have a great season. And Santiago Vescovi, he banged up his shoulder, and that slowed him down for a couple of weeks. And, last night it seemed like his shoulder was doing pretty well as he came out and was bobbing away. So it's a balanced team. It's a very talented team. It's a team defense travels, and if you can play defense and you only give up 53 points a game, you've got a chance to win a bunch of games. And Coach Barnes has always stressed defense and rebounding, and he's got a team that's listening to him, and they've got enough scoring punch that they can. And Tyreek Key is a guy that really hasn't asserted himself or been out there hunting shots that much. He takes shots that come to him, but he's a tremendous shooter. So when they start spreading the floor out with Vesky on one side and Key on the other, and then you got Ziegler at the top of the key who can shoot three-pointers, that's pretty potent. So, and then their inside game. So it's a team that I think is getting better with every game, and they've got a challenging week to go to South Carolina, and then we come back and play Vanderbilt next Tuesday night, and they have Kentucky coming in, and that's when they're going to retire Chris Lofton's jersey. Okay. So that will be a – or his number. So that will be a very emotional week coming up. So it's a really good Tennessee basketball team, ranked, you know, in the top 10, and I expect them to stay there because I think they've got a really good chance of fighting it out for the SEC championship this year with Arkansas and Alabama.
Bob, final kicker here. Dobbs starting for the Titans this weekend. Can he not? I know he's a Vol. Can he knock off Jacksonville?
Well, I don't know. You know, that's a lot to ask of a guy.
I think so.
I mean, he's still trying to figure out where his apartment is in Nashville, probably.
Yeah.
And now he's got to get out there and knock off a Jacksonville team. You know, if he was playing at home, you'd maybe feel a little bit better about it. But he'd be on the road. Jacksonville, they're all jacked up about this game. I mean, it's for a playoff berth, so a lot of pressure. But I'll tell you, Josh Dobbs is a pretty cool customer. I mean, he never got rattled when he was here at Tennessee, and he's a very talented guy and a very smart guy. So he probably has figured out all the pluses and minuses of what he's got to do, and he'll execute their game plan. There's no question about that. Josh is that smart, and he'll give them a good effort. And but you know, the odds, it's long odds, but you don't bet against Josh Dobbs, though. Josh is really a guy that he came through so many times for Tennessee at quarterback in big games, but this is a big challenge for him this weekend.
Bob, it's always great to catch up. Bob Kessling, the voice of the Volunteers here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We got the South Carolina game. Looking forward to hearing it. Thanks so much.
Hey, Brad, always good to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
4:46 with Brad and Bennett here in studio. We've got Jeff Calkins coming up a little after 5 o'clock. Coming up next, four stories, including the one and only Bobby Petrino is headed to the SEC. We'll tell you about it next. It's Brad and Bennett on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't have to go through yet another year with that knee pain or back pain. People with chronic joint pain are getting real lasting relief from QC Kinetics. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish here to remind you that QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in advanced regenerative medicine. Their unique protocols use healing agents from your own body to target aching joints. They can repair and restore damaged tissue so you can move again with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. Got shoulder pain, excruciating hip pain? If you have any arthritis pain or lingering pain from an injury, don't let them operate on you or give you more steroids. Say no to the pain pills and just call QC Kinetics and see if their life-changing all-natural treatments can get you living your best life in the new year. I'm telling you, people are raving about these treatments. This is the future of joint pain management, and appointments are available as soon as next week. Make 2023 the year you say goodbye to joint pain. Call QC Kinetics for a free consultation. 901-445-1010. 901-445-1010. That's the number. 901-445-1010.
We're going to get into our routine with Daily Tennessee Jackpot. You got a dollar? Let's have some fun with it. Let's get those numbers going. How many are we picking? And one, and two, and three, and four, and five. Let's go. All of us Tennesseans are having fun now. Let's play and play.
Work out a win with drawings every day when you play Daily Tennessee Jackpot, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Make today more interesting with Betley's online sports betting action. You can bet on pro and college games with Betley, the only online sports book in Arkansas and Tennessee. And right now, every new customer can cash in on a $250 risk-free first bet. Download the Betley Sportsbook app now in the Apple and Google Play Store or visit Betley.com. With Betley, every game matters.
Must be 21 or older and located in Arkansas or Tennessee to bet. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
What does it feel like to file with TaxSlayer and get your guaranteed maximum refund? It feels like the last level of a video game, facing off against the final boss who stands between you and your refund.
All your refund has belonged to me.
Using the power of TaxSlayer like a secret power-up he doesn't see coming.
Only the most tax-confident can defeat me.
Throwing your laptop at his video game face and watching him crumble into a giant pile of shiny coin tax refunds.
Oh, not fair. You use TaxSlayer.
Start for free and get your guaranteed maximum refund. TaxSlayer. File fearlessly.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Are you a maintenance mechanic, diesel mechanic, welder, or a compactor repair person? Are you looking for a different kind of company and culture to be a part of? At Waste Connections and Team Waste, our employees reap the benefit of realizing their potential with our trust and full support. As a second-chance company, we offer competitive pay, a sign-on bonus, tuition reimbursement, tool reimbursement for our mechanics, and at the end of every workday, you get to be home. Our culture is built on taking care of each other and the communities we serve. Apply today at careers.wasteconnections.com and become a part of a great team of people.
So we've all said this phrase before, it's not that bad. Trying to psych ourselves up for a situation that we know deep down is not that great. Maybe it was a movie, a haircut, or even a traffic jam that was just unfortunate. It's not that bad. Well, if there's one area of life where not that bad won't do, it's how we stay connected at home. Because honestly, you shouldn't have to settle for using your mobile device as your home internet source. It really is that bad. Now here's the good news. With Xfinity, you don't have to just use your mobile phone. Now you can get one line of unlimited mobile with 5G and home internet together for just $50 a month for 12 months with 1 year contract, plus a free streaming box. So get ready for an all-the-way connected internet experience that's truly great. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit your local Xfinity store. Switch today. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. New Connect internet customers only on 1 year contract. Internet included for 12 months. New Xfinity mobile account required. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. After 12 months, regular rates apply. Xfinity postpay internet required for Xfinity mobile. Additional devices extra. Reduced speeds after 20 gigabits of data usage. Offer ends 3/21/23.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. Back to Brad and Bennett on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Grizzlies Hornets tonight. We'll have tip at 6 o'clock with Eric Hasseltine. The pregame with Gary Darby is at 5:30, and we'll ask Jeff Hawkins about it before that at 5 o'clock. But first, let's do four stories.
Now it's four stories. Four stories. Story number one.
Yeah, we do have some injury news in the NBA. New Orleans Pelicans forward Zion Williamson. He has been diagnosed with a right hamstring strain. Team announced on Tuesday evening. They said he will be reevaluated in 3 weeks. Zion was injured late in the third quarter Monday night in a loss to the 76ers. He grabbed a rebound off a miss from Joel Embiid and pushed the ball up the court as soon as he crossed half court. Seemed to feel something in his right hamstring, pulls up. And so Zion is going to be out for at least 3 weeks. And the first, and I'm laughing as I say this, but like, your first thought is to just be like, oh, yeah, oh, my God, Zion Williamson is injured yet again. But, like, dude, I feel really bad for this guy. I mean, like, here in Memphis, we've dealt with injuries. Yeah. Like, our star point guard has dealt with injuries and missed, you know, an extended period of time. Like, it sucks because we've gotten to see Zion more this season as Grizzlies fans, like, play against the Grizzlies than we ever have before. I'm pretty sure two games is more than he's ever played against the Grizzlies in a season. And it's just disappointing because, like, you know, it's the number one, number two picks. Like, it's always a big deal now when him and Ja play against each other. And so you just hope that, like, going forward, this isn't just going to be a thing that pops up every couple weeks, because that's kind of the trend right now. Like, every couple weeks, Zion is out with an injury, it seems like.
Chandler Parsons and Greg Oden are the first two guys that come to mind when I hear Zion Williamson. And I'm not trying to be that guy. I pray that this guy has a long and awesome career, and I realize, and Jason and John pointed this out earlier today, I mean, he averaged almost 30 points a game in December, so he's been tearing it up. Like, he's been really effective this year.
Yeah, like, if he played a full season, like, he would definitely probably be in the MVP conversation.
I just don't think you can count on him playing a full season. But I will say, I don't think you can count on anybody playing a full season anymore. The way these guys play, the way that they attack the rim. And I do think, though, I will say this, and a lot of guys on the station have said this, and I agree with it. I do think we dodged a bullet by not getting the number one pick 4 years ago. Like, and that's the only way you can say it. And it's not meant to be like, you know, hating on Zion, but like, when you're blowing out shoes, and I'm not saying we could have predicted this, you know, that you would have just said, yeah, we're going to scratch. You probably would have drafted him. So
you had to sort of miss on your own with the ping pong balls. But, like,
yeah.
It's really bad. And I think it's going to be like this for his career.
I can't disagree with that. Now, you know, you mentioned the it's like this now in the league just because of how many games the guys play and all the back-to-backs, and the league's trying to fix this. It will be interesting to see what happens because the Grizzlies' injury report, it's not that
so
bad.
Weird, yeah.
Like, Brandon's out tonight still with the left hip soreness, and Zaire Williams actually is questionable. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with him tonight. Santi questionable as well. So might get some good news when the Grizzlies' latest injury report comes out before this game. But, like, tomorrow night? Like, you're playing two bad teams back-to-back. I think the injury report will look really interesting tomorrow night for the Grizzlies, like, to see who actually plays, because they do a good job as a franchise managing these guys' minutes and coming back from injury. And so we'll see what it looks like tomorrow. But, yeah, back to the Zion thing. He is out for at least 3 weeks.
Story number two.
So this is related to a former Arkansas head coach, Bobby Petrino, who's most recently was at Missouri State, which is not a high Division I. You know, it's not a Power 5 school. Bobby Petrino is leaving my beloved University of Nevada at Las Vegas Runnin' Rebels without having coached a game. And he's joining Jimbo Fisher in Texas A&M. He will actually call plays at A&M, taking over for Jimbo. Basically, so, and here's the deal. He's basically taking over for himself, he's taking over for, you know, Petrino's coming in, and this is going to be Jimbo giving up play calling duties, which I think is probably a good idea.
I mean, that thing right now seems like a bit of a sinking ship.
So this feels like the move.
You got to do some kind of splash. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get your fans like, oh man, Bobby Petrino's been great in the SEC. Yeah.
Yeah. So that part of it, I actually think Bobby Petrino's good. Some people today were like, he sucks. I'm like, no, like Bobby Petrino, despite the falling off the motorcycle in rural Arkansas, nepotism at the University of Arkansas, weird stuff, and despite the weird locker room bailing on the Falcons stuff, like, he's a weird duck. But, man, like, if you ask some Louisville fans, they really like Bobby Petrino.
He's a good coach.
And they really like what he did at Louisville and might have got him into a P5 conference just by coaching football. Having said that, there's some UNLV fans that really need to check themselves. This dude, Jeffrey Wadalove, I follow on Twitter because I'm a UNLV fan, and he compared it to the Chris Beard thing. And I get it. Chris Beard left without coaching a game, but he tweeted this. Beard reneged on UNLV without coaching a game. You saw who he really was at Texas. He just, by the way, got arrested for beating his wife. Petrino did the same. His past is well documented. Sometimes people are just low character humans. And to that, I would say, get off of your high horse. This is a moment where we have to remember that it doesn't matter if you've fallen off a motorcycle in rural Arkansas with a person you employed who you're doing it with now and you're cheating on your wife, or you bailed on the locker room in Atlanta for the Falcons, or you're just a weird duck. This is not how that operates. If you can go to Texas A&M, you go to Texas A&M. If you can leave UNLV, you leave UNLV. We saw it here. If you can coach at Oregon and you're Dan Lanning – and not be, you know, the number two at one of these SEC schools, you'll move on. Mm-hmm. So that's just a bunch of garbage. You go to the better job, and you leave UNLV, and you go coach offense at Texas A&M.
Story number three.
So the latest from Memphis Tigers basketball, I know we've all sort of got PTSD coming off the Tulane loss, but Mark Giannotto just wrote this for the Commercial Appeal, and you can read it at commercialappeal.com. Tulane has moved up in the net, and I looked at it. So everybody was freaking out because Tulane is a bad loss. You're on the road. You feel like you can do better than that. But they are a little banged up. Tulane was at full strength finally. But despite the loss, as Mark tweets, Memphis's basketball road loss to Tulane the other day is officially a quad two loss, meaning Memphis has not had a bad loss based on the way they do the net ranker. So, and I'm not an expert on this like Gary was or like Mark or any of these guys, but basically what I was worried about is that Tulane's not going to be a good team. It turns out that, you know, they're probably going to be a tier two team. That's probably where they're going to land.
I think they'll probably be like a top five team in the AAC, maybe.
It probably
they could probably
will.
Finish the season like that. And so we talked about this yesterday. Like, you know, it's, again, that upgrades to a quad two loss.
Yeah.
That is not going to hurt you as far as getting into the NCAA tournament. Like, I don't think we're going to look back. I heard Mark again say this yesterday. We're not going to look back on this season if they don't make the tournament and say, that was the loss.
That was the bugaboo.
That loss at Tulane. That's not going to be it. It would have to get... You'd have to reel off a couple of those, I believe, in order for that to happen. So, again, they just got to they got to obviously win this home game Saturday against East Carolina. That's a no-brainer. And then you got two tough ones on the road at UCF at Temple where I think you have to split and you really want to win both of them.
Yeah, just to reiterate something we talked about yesterday, though, and I think fans,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.